are. This might have been my response to those disciples when they asked such an inappropriate and self-centered request to have the most honored positions, positions of status and power and prestige, being elevated above the other disciples. They assumed that Jesus as Messiah would be the ruler over an earthly kingdom, a kingdom of peace and freedom from oppression. Not only was their request completely arrogant and self-serving, but the timing could not have been worse. You see, in the three verses immediately preceding this text, Mark tells us that they were following Jesus to Jerusalem and that, for the third time, Jesus is telling them what is going to happen there, that he will be arrested by the religious leaders and be tortured and killed, and after 3 days, rise again. Well, apparently James and John had been so obsessed with their request that they could not think of anything else. It's all about them. But instead of giving them an angry reply, the response of Jesus is one of patience and even gentleness. He asked them a question in order to illustrate that they do not really understand or want what they are requesting, to be on his right and his left when he comes into his glory. Well, Jesus knows that his glory will be the cross with two thieves, one on his right and one on his left. So even though they may later suffer persecution and perhaps death as his followers, Jesus tells them, to sit on my right or my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. Now we see that the other disciples are furious with James and John. How dare they seek such elevated positions of honor? Who do they think they are? But again, Jesus is the peacemaker. He calls them together, and without shaming anyone, he speaks to them about what it really means to be great in the kingdom of God. And don't we also need to hear his words? Aren't there times when we also are so obsessed with what we want to say or ask that we don't listen or take in what the other person is saying? Instead, we're just waiting for our chance to jump into the conversation with our thoughts and our story. When we are so self-absorbed, this keeps us from hearing the other, and certainly from being a healing presence, interested in the other, empathic, compassionate, even willing to enter into another's pain so that the other may have the grace of knowing that they have been heard and understood, accepted, not judged. As you know, our Stephen ministers are trained to be present in this way. All of us can also learn and practice listening, being fully present to the other without trying to think of what we will say next. Instead, we depend on the Holy Spirit to lead us. God desires to touch us, but God waits for this to be our desire. We may think we don't need God's touch and be too prideful to open our hearts to God. Perhaps our need to be in control and to try to keep things predictable prevents us from opening our hearts and our lives to the Holy Spirit, who works in our lives and in the lives of others. But when we attempt to go it alone, that can bring stress and empty our lives of the joy of surrendering to the one who, as Scripture says, by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we could ask or imagine. So, part of servant ministry means putting ourselves last, not seeking recognition or to dominate or control, but to be like Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve. So following Jesus is very different from our natural inclinations of self-elevation. Jesus emptied himself of his place in glory to come and live and die as one of us. As we have seen, he was a peacemaker, gentle and full of compassion for all. As his followers, our mission becomes the same as his, to share the good news by sharing our lives with one another, to bind up the brokenhearted and set captives free. Of course, we do not often know that a person is captive, held hostage. We may not know about their childhood experiences of rejection, about their loneliness, their fears, their grief, their stress, and perhaps about their relationships that threaten to drain the very life out of them. We may not realize how hard it is for a given person to deeply know and experience God's incredible love. The love that, as Scripture says, is being poured into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. As servants of Christ, we share the good news by living it and accepting and caring for all people, as we will vow to do in a few minutes in the baptismal covenant. This includes even and especially those people whose neediness or irritability or negativity makes it hard for us to be with them. We know, of course, that we cannot do that by our own human love, but it is by God's love that flows through us and out into their hearts. Being a servant, therefore, is about our believing and accepting that it really is not about us, but about the Holy Spirit. Jesus modeled this servant ministry. He was tuned in to the Holy Spirit, for he took time out to pray and receive power. There's a Hebrew scripture that reminds us, it is not by your might, it is not by your power, but by the Holy Spirit that God's will is accomplished. God desires to give us a heart that is open to God, overflowing with love for God, for ourselves, and for others. When this is also our prayer and our deep desire, then, as Jesus promised, your joy will be full, and the joy of the Lord will be your strength. We can experience the great joy of seeing God at work in us and through us and in others. Thanks be to God.